Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the afternoon show. Ike Reese, Tom Kelly, Elliot Shore Parks with you on a Tuesday afternoon. We're down at Citizens Bank Park, broadcasting live from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth. DeBoer Heart and Lung Center, Delaware Valley's only heart hospital. We'll get to some fills coming up here in the 3 o'clock hour as they take on the Astros again tonight. But obviously a big day for the Eagles. We're talking about whether we're overrating this team or not. And the moves have begun. Cut down time at 4 o'clock. And now we'll check in with Elliot Shore Parks, who's here with us. Elliot, sponsored by Groundworks. BQ Basement and Concrete is now Groundworks. New name, same great service, foundation repair, basement waterproofing, and crawl space experts. To book your appointment, go to groundworks.com. Elliot, in the breaking news desk, what do we got?
Yeah, so I would say we have three significant or noteworthy moves so far from the Eagles, as they have to get down to 53 players by 4 o'clock, so under an hour now. The most noteworthy one is, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer, Paris Campbell has been released. So Campbell signed to be the third receiver after the acquisition of Jahan Dotson. You know, his chance at that went away, but I think you could see him come back on the practice squad and still play week one against Green Bay. But he has been released. And then two players added to the injured reserve, rookie receiver Anaya Smith. This is according to Zach Berman of PHLY.com. And then according to the Inquirer, tight end Albert O, who was here last year, also heading to IR. So my guess is those two players are unlikely to play again this year. I don't think they would use two of their opportunities to bring players back on Smith or Albert O. So those are three players right there that won't be on the 53.
Any of those surprise you, Ike?
I guess Paris a little bit. I can't say he necessarily surprises me, but I thought he still had a chance to make the roster just because of his veteran presence and the fact that they wanted him here as the number three guy. Certainly was banged up all training camp, played in the last preseason game. That's never a good look for a veteran player, but they wanted to see him out there. To what Elliot said, I could still possibly see them bringing him back on the practice squad with these new rules that veteran players can be on the damn practice squad.
So he can sign to the practice squad and then be elevated three times.
Yeah.
So they could. And the other thing is with Paris Campbell, if he was on the initial 53, his salary is guaranteed for the full year.
Okay.
So this could be cut him and then bring him back.
Yeah.
He could be back on the team.
Yeah, because I would imagine Dotson, they traded for him, so they take on his first round draft pick.
Salary.
So
he's about $1.5 million,
yeah,
something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so yeah. Other than that, the younger guys, I'm not surprised at it all.
It feels like kind of an indication that, I mean, they feel like Dotson could be ready to be a big part of the offense week one. I mean, that's my biggest takeaway from it.
Yeah, I mean, Spadaro, I thought Spadaro made a good point on the pregame that he just has to learn the plays for week one.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to learn the whole playbook, which is, you know, obviously easier to do in a short time frame than taking everything that's been taught all offseason.
Yeah, if I'm the Eagles, I wouldn't try to force this. Listen, he's out there running routes, getting familiar with the offense. But there is something to having timing with the quarterback having familiarity with you, when you're coming out of your breaks, how you like to come out of your break, where the quarterback likes to place the ball. All of the nuances of the passing game matters and could be the difference between an interception, a drop pass on a key third down. So I think they may try to find ways to possibly get him the ball a couple of times, but I don't know how much of the offense I would be looking to make Dotson in week one.
He could be a decoy week one, basically. Run deep, you know, get attention from the defense.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see if Paris Campbell's back. So, you know, certainly he could play week one. But I do think releasing him is a mistake. If he's not on the team this season, he's been your
all. Dog Campbell.
Campbell, yeah. I thought Campbell had a good OTAs. He was a guy they targeted early on. There was so much talk of how, you know, him and Nick and all that. He was hurt in training camp, which was part of it, for sure. He missed a lot of time. But this isn't a rookie. He's been in the league. He's shown upside. So I think he probably will be back. So I'm not banging the drum saying it's a massive mistake. But if Paris Campbell's gone, I think it was a mistake to let him go.
Yeah, kind of surprising. I expected them to keep Paris Campbell as a veteran presence.
I like the veteran presence. Like it.
Right. And kind of a comp to like a Zach Pascal a couple years ago, where he was on the team. You know, didn't have a ton of a role on offense, but was reliable if you did need to put him out there.
Yep.
So kind of surprising. And now, Elliot.
Just really quickly, I think this time of year we get so wrapped up in, you know, like potential or guys that had great training camps, guys that look good in the third preseason game. And those guys matter. You want to find young players that can help the team. But we spent the first hour talking about, is this team good enough to win the Super Bowl or not? And so a lot of these guys that have great training camps and look good in practice that are new, they're not really going to play a big role on the team this year. Paris Campbell has been in the NFL for 4 years. He has experience. He is somebody that I think would help this team this season. So
yeah.
I still think he'll be back, to be honest. But what we'll debate a lot today is youth versus experience. Mm-hmm. I am very, very much in the camp of, for this team, I'm going with experience over youth.
Yeah.
What are some of the things, Elliot, you're looking for here in the next hour? Names, positions, what are you most interested in?
So the biggest question is James Bradberry. James Bradberry obviously still on the team as of now with an hour to go. He's been on the team all offseason. When all offseason, you know, it's been thought that he would be let go. He's been playing safety in training camp. Vic Fangio has spoken highly of him. But, you know, like, he is an older player, and I think that, you know, that transition to safety, he doesn't have obviously a ton of experience at the position. So there's no real financial benefit to cutting him. I think they opened maybe $1 million in cap space. But, yeah, that's the big question heading into this final hour.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens
and
with
I
James
would
Bradberry.
Keep it, to be clear.
Yeah, and I would be fine letting him go. I would try. I don't know. My feeling is the Eagles are trying to trade him and they'll cut him.
Yeah, I just don't see a role that he plays on a team. You have young players. You got young players at his position. Sidney Brown's going to be coming back at some point. I just don't see for a new role that he's barely even thriving at the safety position, regardless of what they're saying coming out of training camp. I just don't see the benefit of it.
So
even if he had to play, you think I'm feeling comfortable and confident that Bradberry is back there playing safety, going up against the Packers? Like, going up against who else we got? We got the Falcons. Like,
and Saints maybe not so much.
I mean, if we were playing the Giants, okay. That's one thing. But we're playing real teams.
He got dusted by a third-string tight end in a preseason game.
Yeah, like, we're playing real teams.
So I agree, in a vacuum, if you look and just go, is James Bradberry a great backup safety? No, I agree with you on that. But someone has to be their backup safety. I mean, if you look at the rest of their roster, I like Tristan McCollum. I think he's had a good preseason. Tristan McCollum's never played a meaningful snap in the NFL. Caden Stearns is intriguing. Caden Stearns can't even practice or play yet because of an injury. So Bradberry's taken a lot of reps.
Why did we trade him? Should have went and got Justin Simmons, man.
I agree. I agree with that. I mean, they signed Caden Stearns for what it's worth. But
they didn't trade him?
He was cut and they signed him. But to your point, the safety position as a whole is a major question. I know everyone's excited about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I think he still has something to prove as a safety in the NFL.
Can he play a full season?
So yeah. While Bradberry, you know, is, again, never played the position, he at least has played a lot in the NFL. And I do think his experience in a too high safety where he's just doing half the field, it makes his job easier than asking him to go back there and go the whole field on single high safety.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Elliot will be
bringing down two high safety.
Well, you know,
he didn't do a bad job either. I was listening.
Ever since you shamed me for saying two receiver offense,
don't do that again, please.
Again, I was trying to simplify it for us non-football.
No, you said two cornerbacks.
Two cornerbacks. Yes. That was it. Two corner. Yeah.
I gotta say, a little more of a football guy show.
Yeah.
With
us,
Elliot and I replacing Jack and Spike.
Yeah. Well, it's fine. Yeah. Right? Finally, here at the Philly Stadium, it's time to talk football.
Yeah. Hey. Cut down day again. But we will get to the Phils coming up. Big win over the Astros last night. Huge victory. And now the Phils back at it tonight with Aaron Nola on the mound as they look to take game two of this series.
Knowles!
If you want to get on the Phils, you're welcome to 215-592-9494. Asking for overrating the Eagles. And also our next question today, what is a great what if? As Allen Robinson, who a lot of people want in this town, I may have wanted him, he gets released by like the third team since that point today. What is a great what if? In this case, one that worked out here in Philadelphia. Let's go back to the phones. Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Good afternoon, man. How we doing?
What up, Chris?
What up, Chris?
I got to get it in now before he gets back, so sorry to ask.
Yep.
Hey, Ike. All right.
Yes, sir.
Ike, you could take a break. I got your six here, all right, with these two guys.
Okay.
So let's start defense here. Linebackers. All right, we got Devin White. All right, we got Bond there who's just holding place for Trott Jr. And actually, Elliot, at the end of my little tirade here, I hope you give me an update on that because I'm hoping he starts the season. And then we get Nakomi Dean at depth behind there. And then the secondary guys, and this is a huge upgrade that we did not have last year, and this is what helps with the pass rush because our secondary couldn't cover anything last year. They couldn't hold on anybody. This year we got Slay, we got Ringo, we got Rodgers, right? Then we also went out and drafted Quinnion and Cooper DeJean. So I don't want to hear about how the defense is, you know.
Yeah, but
not
Chris, real quick, let me just push back if you don't mind. I think you're right. This secondary this year could end up being way better than last year. But I think what you're pointing out to me is one of the concerns about what we think versus what we know. This last year going into the season, we thought the Darius Slay and James Bradberry, they were coming off all pro seasons, right? How did they get Bradberry back? The secondary is going to be awesome. And it didn't work out. So with this team, I agree they could be better. We just don't know, right? We don't know if they're going to end up being
better. I know we had the worst secondary down throughout that collapse. We had the worst three by far in this season.
Know the collapse, for
they
sure.
gave up plays all day. So I know it's almost impossible for them to also be the 31 pass defense in the NBA. And I know that, not with this talent. I know they're going to be better than that. So let's move over to defense, right? So we just, you know, Howie, you know, if you look under his shirt, you'll see the Penn State logo there, because in the offseason on offense, about bringing it in the Nittany Lions, very smart man there. We got Jahan, and it's not Johan, like it's Jahan.
Yeah, no, right? I'm there now.
Yo, when you said that when they acquired him, did I get that wrong?
I like the bit of you continuing to mess up his name, calling Johan. Yeah.
It's a staple of what he does here. But listen, stop trying to take shots at Ike. Ike knows what he's talking about with football here, guys. So listen, here's the thing with Jahan, guys. The problem with the Redskins is they drafted him to be number one or two. And as being a diehard Penn State guy, I knew he wasn't really that. If you put him in the split, he'll play in the slot. He can play in the outside. The fact that he's going to be a number three, where he actually can catch the football. Guys, imagine that slot receiver, that we don't have to question his hand, because you don't with him. And he does have speed. He's got 4.4 speed, all right? So he can do it. He's just small. He's a guy. So that's a massive upgrade. And then getting into the backfield. Dude, guys, I mean, we got Quadzilla in the backfield, all right? We got back there. He's going to make a huge difference. Unlike, you know, hey, we had a solid back last year, but that guy wasn't very good at pass blocking. Say Quad can pass all day long. And then my last thing, and ISP, I think you're with me, Jalen's going to have a banner year, because from what I understand, there's a guy who follows this team in the preseason. He broke the franchise no interception thrown passing record.
Yeah.
And I think,
well, I'm surprised it took an hour for that to come out.
Yeah. Well. So I think he's going to be a top three, my opinion. He's going to be the MVP of the league, but I'll acquiesce and even concede he'll be five. Well, All that said, there's definitely a 12-win team. So, TK, this nonsense of they may not make the playoffs, that I think it's nonsense.
All right, Chris, what do you got for what if?
My what if is Andy Reid stayed and we got Pat Mahomes.
Oh, man. Appreciate the call, man. Thanks.
And now, we've done that show before.
Man. And they would have Patrick Mahomes. And,
oh, yeah, you were with me on that.
Who knows what would happen. Andy went up and got Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
It's clear Andy liked Patrick Mahomes.
Like, it is funny, like, the retrospect looking at that draft, because Trubisky went two. Did a quarterback go number one that year?
No, that was the D lineman that went to San Francisco? Oh, it might have been the Miles Garrett. It might have been Miles Garrett. Okay, yeah. Yep, that's who it was.
Yeah, it was the draft.
Solomon Thomas went third, I think.
Yeah, and it's just crazy because now we look at it and it's like, oh, Patrick Mahomes is this can't miss prospect. No, Andy identified Patrick Mahomes.
He went up from pick 27 to 10 to get him.
Oh, man. I also think the Mahomes.
That's a long way to go.
Could you imagine having Patrick Mahomes?
The Mahomes thing aside, Andy would have figured it out if he stayed here.
Yes.
I'm not saying firing him wasn't the right decision. Eventually everyone just needs to move on. Mm-hmm. But even without Mahomes, Andy is too good of a head coach and a quarterback guru not to have turned this around within a year or two of when they fired him.
Right. I will say, though, like, being here at the time, it would have been really hard to keep him. Like as far as after that 2012 season, tensions were pretty high. Like, it did not go well. 2011 did not go well. Yeah. And I think it was the right time for everybody to move on. It's just, and I love Andy, so I'm happy he's having the success that he's having. At the same time, as an Eagles fan, it's hard to watch that and think that could still be us.
Listen, that's a tough what if, man. That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. But that's why I'm glad we got one.
Yeah,
I'm glad we got one. No. He could go down as the greatest coach ever. He certainly will go down as one of the five greatest coaches ever. And who knows how many rings he's going to have with this kid by the time they're done. Who knows?
Yeah, I think, you know, if I had to pick one head coach in history of the league to start my team with, I would pick Andy Reid. Just because, you know, A, the modern game, he's used to that. But what Andy does is more important than what Bill Belichick does. Bill Belichick's a great...
Especially for today's
game. Bill Belichick's a great defensive coordinator. And obviously, as a head coach, he had success. But if I'm picking a head coach that I'm going to give a quarterback to, I'm giving him to Andy Reid.
Andy Reid or either Bill Walsh.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I think he's maybe the best quarterback or the best coach in this modern time in the NFL. But I did want to follow up on one thing that Chris said. Because he talked about the secondary. And I think the secondary is interesting because... Yeah, the defense should be the secondary should be better than last year, but you are relying on a lot of young guys, and that's one of the things with this team is I just think there's so much variability there. Where it could work out very well, and the secondary could be great. Mm-hmm. There's also a scenario where these guys might not be able to play. I mean, just because they're drafted high, that doesn't mean that these guys are can't miss prospects and locks to be good.
You got to draft and develop guys.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's why I think with this team, and again, from Chris brought it up, the historic training game from Jalen Hurts, like that really matters. If Jalen has an outstanding season, he will cover up a lot of the other issues on this team. And when you break the record for throws without interception, that's a good indication. But he needs protection back there to have that translate into the regular season, and that's my main concern. Because you're right,
dude,
it's high variable.
If you talk this offensive line into being bad
I'm
this year.
I'm not talking him into
Yeah, you are.
I'm just saying,
it's not on Elliott.
Yeah. It is
no,
on Elliott.
No, it's not.
I mean, you're trying to put this juju over the news damn along. O-line,
I'm
man.
Just passing the news along. The line did not look good in training camp.
Hey, and that's a totally
that
fair
does
thing
me.
To say.
Well,
the interior of the offensive line matters. Like, guards matter.
Sure, we got good guards.
I hope we do. We have one of them. One of them is really good.
Yeah.
The other one,
we don't know. We're going to find out.
We hope he's good.
Yes.
Let's go to Tasty Cake Dom. What's up, Dom?
Hey, Tommy. Hey, Ike. Elliot.
What up?
What up, Tasty Cake?
I'm going to try real hard to make intelligence because I've been fired up since 3 minutes after two. Who the heck is this Nick Wright? How could anybody, Ike, pick Washington or New York to finish ahead of the Eagles?
Right.
That's ridiculous. And this breakdown that the only thing the Eagles got is two great wide receivers. Elliot, here's what I want to tell you. You know what the Eagles season is going to be this year?
What?
It's going to be a Space Jam. Saquon's going to be running behind the Monstars. These aren't big men, Elliot.
They
these
are. They're a huge offensive
man.
Line.
Landon Dickerson is a giant.
I agree.
Cam is the lightweight at 303 pounds. They're going to bulldozer over people.
They might have the biggest offensive.
Pancake people.
They might have the biggest offensive line in league history, or at least certainly up there. When you look at Becton at guard, Landon at the other guard spot, both their tackles are huge. Absolutely.
Yeah, gigantic men. They're going to run over people. And the other thing that I have to say defensively is, one way to play great defense is not to play defense. The Eagles are going to monopolize the time clock this year. The Eagles' defense is only going to be on that field one-third of the game. The Eagles are going to lead the NFL in time
of
possession.
If they're smart, Tasty K. Dom, that's what they need to be doing.
The NFL in time of possession.
Yep. I agree with that.
Right. And the other thing that I got to tell Ike is, right off the bat, Ike, what you said, if the Sixers had Reggie Evans last year, they'd have beat them, Nick.
There's a tease.
Reggie
the Sixers
Evans
won
is every
Ike Reese
single
away
thing
that
the Eagles need. Hustle, desire, will to. He's got your height.
I'm telling you, man, yes. If I was 6'6", I would have been there, I'm telling you.
Same.
Is that your what if, Dom? What if the Sixers had Reggie Evans last year?
No, but my what if – Tom, can I change it? Because I thought a better one while I was. My what if is if 1986 they don't trade Roy Henson for the number one pick and they just say Brad Daugherty, and for the next 10 years you have Charles Barkley and Brad Daugherty playing next to each other.
Well, there you go, Tom. Appreciate
that's
it.
That's a good one.
I wasn't alive then, but I've heard that was a controversial decision.
Yes, you wasn't alive then. Thank you.
I wanted to clarify that just for you, Ike.
Twitter would have been on fire back then.
Yeah. So what, they traded the number one pick instead of taking Brad Daugherty?
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
Is that what they did?
I think so.
According to Tasty Cake.
Yeah. And Tasty Cake knows everything about
Sixers. Oh, yeah, he's Sixers, yeah.
Sixers historian. Let's go to Gary in Vineland. What's up, Gary?
What's going on? Hey, sorry for yesterday. I was not on speaker. I just had somebody that was trying to talk to me right through the I'm on the phone symbol.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that was, I got to say, Gary, that was a bad call. If Spike was here, you'd have gotten a lot of trouble. Probably been banned today.
Yep, pretty much. What, Ike, man, this week zero of high school football, you got to catch any of the battles at the beach?
What'd you say?
High school football, I think so.
High school football.
Oh, high school football, yeah. Does it get started this week?
Battle at the beach this week. My
battle at the
little
beach?
Team is playing in it.
Oh, you're talking about flag football.
No, tackle.
Battle at the beach? I'm going to wear this.
Yeah, Battle at the beach. ING Academy is down in Oceanside.
Got you. See, you know what? Listen, my son's been out of high school for like 3 years now from playing football, so I don't really keep up as much.
I got to say, Gary, not a great start today either.
Oh, man.
Spike definitely would not have allowed this to happen.
Yeah, yes. Spike would have moved on.
So what do we got, Gary?
I just think it's just ridiculous that everybody counts the Eagles out. You know, every year the Cowboys are going to win. Now they're putting Washington ahead of us. I just don't understand how you say we don't have talent. There's so much talent on this team. And like the last guy was saying, the offensive line is gigantic.
So I don't think anyone's saying they don't have talent. They probably have one of, you know, the top five most talented rosters in the league. The issue is, are they talented at the right spots? Like, they clearly are very talented at receiver, running back, tight end. I think the corners are very intriguing. The linebackers could be better. But if you look at the talent on the offensive and defensive line, I don't know where they would stack up to the rest of the league. Are they top 10? Probably. But ultimately, to win a Super Bowl and make it to the Final Four in the conference championship, you need to have one of the best units on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. And that is my concern.
Yeah, I think the coach is going to bring that unit up. I think we're going to see a big difference this year.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's what I think you're banking on, Gary, is the coaches to make a big difference. And off Elliott's point, I think this team's extremely talented in a lot of areas. It's just there are other spots that are important where they're lacking the depth that they traditionally have. What do you got for a
I just think young players and young coaches just didn't mix last year. And how about instead of picking Rager, we get Jefferson, or we trade up and get CeeDee Lamb as Carson?
There it is. There it is. I was wondering when that was coming up.
Now, here's an interesting one with that.
Surprised it took this one.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You don't have Devontae and AJ at that point, probably. Now, you might have one and the other, but
no,
I don't think we have. They definitely don't.
I don't think we have either. Because if Justin Jefferson is as good as he was early, I don't think Howie feels the need to go out and trade for A.J. Brown after getting Justin Jefferson.
I also think
they may draft another wide receiver, like Minnesota wind up doing. They wind up drafting Addison.
Right. Who's good, by the
way. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Addison.
So, yeah, I mean, the Eagles may have done it. I tell you, though, the Eagles surprised me like a year or two ago, 2 years ago, when A.J. got here and he was doing what he was doing. And the Eagles, so basically last year, offseason. Mm-hmm. We had started to have, I know at least on our show, we had started to hint at, are the Eagles going to be able to keep A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith?
Yeah.
Pay both of these guys number one wide receiver money. I never thought I'd see the day this would happen. But the Eagles recognize the value in having premium talent. They understand the importance of the passing game and where the league is moving, where the money in the league is moving. The money in the league has moved to wide receivers. So they are a premium. So the Eagles, we wouldn't be an outlier to have two guys. The Dolphins did it. Mm-hmm. Like, other teams are doing it if they have that. I don't know what San Francisco is doing.
Well, their receivers aren't as good.
But you still need two of them.
So
I mean, Debo and Brandon Ayuk.
And you can expand the skill positions as a whole.
Hold on. Yeah. Their receivers aren't as good, but somehow their quarterback had the best efficiency last year, the most yards per completion, like 90 yards per completion.
Yeah, no, their receivers are good, but I would also say to your point about keeping both of them, I think both AJ and Devontae deserve some credit, too, on this.
For wanting to be here,
but also just their relationship, they are, you know, they talk about it, like best friends, they talk all the time, their families are close, and I think that makes it easier to have two stud receivers like that stay around, because I'm sure deep down there, you know, each of them wants the ball thrown their way, but I've never gotten the sense that there's any genuine jealousy between the two. But that matters, you know, because
we're not really getting paid.
Exactly. But even then, I just think their willingness to be okay with the other person getting more targets matters when keeping that duo together. Money helps, but so does the fact that they're close and there's no natural disagreement or natural tension between them. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you got that with Waddle and Tyreek.
Yeah.
T. Higgins and Chase.
Jamar Chase,
Yeah, these These dudes are young and rich. They shouldn't be mad about anything.
Just one more.
These dudes are rich at 25 years old, bro. Like,
well, I think it helps too when you're when you draft guys from schools where they have a ton of talent around.
Exactly, I agree with you on that. You know, especially Devontae.
When Devontae comes from Alabama and everybody there is a top whatever pick. I mean, even Landon.
I think that does matter.
Look at Georgia, right? So, yeah. I mean, AJ not as much, I guess. But regardless, I think that matters when building a locker.
Yep.
One more thing off what Chris said: Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson, a Mount Rushmore WIP topic over the last 5 years, without a doubt.
In terms of
Yeah, for sure. That's one of
How many phone calls did we take for years about
until we got AJ
taking Justin Jefferson over Jalen?
Well, that's one reason how he did all that. He's like, I'll make sure we don't bring up Justin Jefferson anymore. My money well spent on that one for how we just sleep better at night.
That's true.
That's exactly right. 215-592-9494. We'll get to everybody's calls. Continue talking about the Eagles. Are we overrating them going into this year? Also, we will get to the Phillies a little more in the game last night, and we'll check back in with Elliot at the breaking news desk. Cuts coming up at 4 o'clock today, so we'll see what the Eagles are doing as of now. Ike Reese, Tom Kelly, Elliot Shore Parks, Afternoon Show, Sports Radio 94, WIP.